Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6 this morning. It's good to see you in church. Once again, you visitors, we do count it a privilege and honor for you to be with us. We thank you for choosing to be with us today. Good to have Brother Randy with us today. Amen. Had a pacemaker put in. He's back in church today and excited to be here. Amen. So it's good to see you, and he's thinking it's good to be seen. Amen. But good to see all of you. All right, in Joshua chapter number 6 this morning, Joshua chapter number 6, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, you ought to go to a church where the preacher says the Bible says. Amen? I just like to hear it. I like to say it. The Bible says. It doesn't matter what the preacher says sometimes if it ain't what the Bible says. Amen? The Bible says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and all, and the mighty men of valor. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war. Go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. The 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, ye shall hear the sound of the trumpet. All the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of the ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets. The ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them, and the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rear reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. They came into the camp, lodged in the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning. The priest took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. The armed men went before them, but the rear reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on, blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once, and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. It came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. It came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. The city shall be accursed, even it, all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew, and the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, mark this, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. They took the city. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young and old, ox and sheep, ass, and with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the 2 men that spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren, all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. They burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels and the brass and the iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. She dwelleth in Israel, even in this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you this morning. We ask you, God, for your touch. Thank you, Lord, for those that are here. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity to stand here on this wonderful Sunday morning, the liberty, the freedom that you've given us. I pray, God, you'd help us to make much use of it today. And I pray, God, you'd speak to our hearts and lives. I pray, God, that as you speak to us, that we truly would obey when you speak. Challenge us and change us for your glory. Well, thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here we are in Joshua chapter number 6. And you've all heard the story about how Joshua fit the battle of Jericho and the walls come tumbling down. Well, that's exactly what happened. You say, preacher, do you believe that happened like the Bible said? I believe it happened just exactly like the Bible said. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, is this thought, when walls fall. When walls fall. Here in Joshua chapter number 6, the Israelites had crossed Jordan. And as soon as they crossed Jordan, they almost immediately faced an ordeal that challenged them. They come into Gilgal, and they're there for about a couple of weeks. And then as they leave Gilgal, they are advancing, not leaving permanently, but as they move on forward from Gilgal, the first city they come to is the city of Jericho. You understand, last week we talked about how Joshua got to the city of Jericho, and as he was at the edge of the city, he met the captain of the host of the Lord, and he got some instructions. And so here in Joshua chapter number 6, we are seeing him get those instructions and carry them out. And you need to understand something about Jericho. Down in verse number 17 through verse number 19, God clearly, emphatically said that the city was a curse. It was an accursed city. That is, that the city was a thing that was devoted or dedicated, and it was going to be utterly destructed and destroyed. And so, this was not a city to lust after. This was not a city to want to be a part of. But this was a city that was representative of difficulties and hardships in our Christian life, and victory would be given. You need to understand this. In the Christian life, we're not fighting for victory, we are fighting from victory. And God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, makes us more than conquerors. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, He has made us to be overcomers. You need to understand, though, that there is no victory without a battle. Nobody's going to go through the Christian life and just coast and think, oh, everything's peachy and everything's all right. If you're serving the Lord and you're making any progress, making any advancement in your Christian walk, there will be battles to face. So the first battle that the nation of Israel faces when they cross the River Jordan and come out of Gilgal, the first battle that they encounter is the Battle of Jericho. Jericho was a very critical battle. I say this, it was critical for the sense, number one, is because it was the first battle. It was their first conflict in the land of promise. As they approach Jericho, you can imagine they're thinking, man, how's this going to go? And God's already told them, I'm giving you this land. So the very first battle is going to set the onset. You win that first battle, it's going to be key to making forward advancements in the future. Not only was it the first conflict, but Jericho was a fortress city. Jericho was a city, had walls around it. Jericho was a strong city. It was a city of so-called protection. And taking Jericho is going to aid the Israelites to further make progress in Canaan. And not only is it going to help them to take the city and to destroy it, to have that property and that land, but it's going to aid them by discouraging the Canaanites and letting them see just what the God of Israel can do. Not only that, but Jericho being taken would provide safety for the Israelites. If you remember, they come out of the wilderness, they come across the Jordan River, they come into Gilgal, and about a little over a mile away is the city of Jericho. In order for the Israelites to make any advancement throughout the Canaan land, or what we call Canaan land, the land of promise, in order for Israel to go any further, they've got to go past Jericho. Well, by destroying Jericho and taking that land, that provides safety that they would not have to worry about. Joshua wouldn't have to worry about them destroying them as they passed by. He wouldn't have to worry about why the men, Joshua and the men of war were out to war. They would send people to ambush the Israelites over at, at Gilgal. So it was a very important city. Jericho, listen to this, Jericho's defeat is going to cause Joshua to be known and esteemed by the Israelites. You remember back in chapter number 4, God had promised to make him great in the eyes of Israel, and God did that in chapter 4. But here in chapter 6, verse 27, the Bible said after this took place that the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout not only Israel, but throughout all the country. And so the Israelites are following Joshua. God has given victory. And as he gives victory at Jericho, not only do the Israelites see it, but their enemies see just what God's doing through this man, Joshua. Now, you need to mark this in your mind. Once we're saved, we are identified with Christ, we cross over Jordan, we're dying to self, we face battles. We're going to face battles. You're going to face battles of the flesh, battles with the world, and battles with the devil himself all throughout your Christian life on a daily basis. Somebody said, well, I'm in the Christian life, and I thought it was going to be smooth. Somebody told me if I got saved, everything's going to be easy. Well, somebody lied to you. Listen, before you got saved, you and the devil was on the same side. He didn't have to tempt you much to sin. You was wanting to sin. That was what you loved to do. But now that you're saved and you want to please God with your life, there's going to be temptations on the daily. There's going to be battles that you face. And so we need to understand that. But like Jericho, the first victory is key. Are you listening? The first victory is key to further progress in your Christian walk. You can't go to greater things. People talk about going to new levels and higher heights and things in their Christian. You can't take a step to new levels until you learn and get victory on the level you're at. And so the Israelites come in to Jericho, and listen, they had to have the victory. Like Jericho, their victory in our first conflict. And you've got to overcome the first step. The first thing God allows you to face, he's got to give you the victory there. Once he gives you the victory there, he can take you further and advance and make progress in your Christian walk. Sometimes we face seemingly insurmountable challenges in our life. Do you not? I'm talking about things that in our power we cannot overcome. Difficulties that would hinder us in our spiritual walk, that would hinder us from making any progress in our Christian life. Battles that, listen, though we would want to avoid them, they must be fought. This is exactly what took place in Joshua chapter number 6. You imagine coming across Jordan, you saw the river dry up, you saw the waters on the heat, you come over into Gilgal, you think, man, this is awesome, this is... And then you say, wait a minute, what's that walled city over there? There's a hard spot, there is a difficulty. I remind you that Hebrews chapter number 11 says that by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith. You know how you're going to fight and you're going to win your battles? It's not going to be in your strength or in your mind. It's going to be by faith in the Son of God. The only way you're going to live in victory is by faith in God of heaven. And so here's what we face. We're looking at these walls of Jericho and these walls representation of hard things, difficulties in our Christian life. Now I want you to notice some truths with me this morning about when walls fall. What happens when walls fall? What happens when we come to difficulties in our Christian life? What happens when we come to a part of my Christian life and I say, here's a victory, I've got to win, but it seems like I can't tear down that wall. How do I get that wall to fall? What happens when walls fall? I want you to think about, number one, there's an unconquerable obstacle. There was an unconquerable obstacle. Jericho, in verse number 1, the Bible said Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Now understand, Jericho was a fortress city. Jericho was a city that the Canaanites there in that area of Jericho had built as a method of protection. It was thought that this city, the walls of Jericho, some have even said that there was a double wall system around the city, that it was two walls. We know that the wall was so strong that there were houses in it. Back in chapter number 2, Rahab's house was in the wall. And so we know that this wasn't just like a 6-inch or a 12-inch wall. We're talking about a wall that's at least strong enough to hold a house. A pretty strong structure. A method, a device of protection. With such protective walls, it was thought that only starvation could destroy the citizens of such a city. In other words, the Bible said none went out, none came in. And I want you to think about this city. Think about this obstacle. How strong, how difficult it would have been to conquer this obstacle. Think about the reinforcement. He said they were straightly shut up. Do you see that? Jericho was straightly shut up. The idea is that they were shut up, they were closed up straightly or tightly. In other words, there wasn't no cracks in the wall. It wasn't like you're going to find a hole and sneak through. This is a secure wall. You're talking about a wall, amen. Jericho had a wall. And so, none went out, none came in. None went out, none came in. Are you listening to me? We're talking about a reinforcement. We are talking about a city that was protected, a city that was strong. And you got to understand that this city of Jericho was an accursed thing. It was a wicked city. This is a city that has to be destroyed. God said it was devoted to destruction. Has to be destroyed. You've got things in your life and there's a wall up. And you say, I can't take it down. There's a reinforcement. I'm telling you, God can tear that wall down. Notice why there was a reinforcement. Here's the reason. Here's the reason. Notice they were straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. Because of the children of Israel. They had already heard, listen, the inhabitants of Jericho had already heard of the Israelites. They were already determined not to let them in and not to let them take their city. The devil, child of God, he knows what God has already done in your life. The devil knows that you got saved. The devil knows the victory that God wants to give you. The devil knows that he cannot get your soul any longer. But I'll tell you what he wants to do. He's going to throw every wall up in your way. He's going to throw every hindrance, every obstacle to keep you from obtaining what God has promised to give you. God promised to give Israel Jericho. He said, I've given you this land. But there's a wall up, God. I can't get there. I can't destroy that land. I can't take that land. We can't destroy the enemies there. There's a wall up. Why was the wall up? The wall was up because of the children of Israel. They had already heard. I'm telling you, the devil's going to try to put up walls in your life. He's already heard what God's done in your life. People have heard what God, and they're going to try to be a difficulty. And you don't get mad at the people. It's not the people. It's the power behind the people. It's Satan working. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, high places. Are you listening? There's going to be hard times. There's going to be difficulties. Hey, but listen, there's an unconquerable obstacle. But remember, Joshua had met the captain. And so with the unconquerable obstacle, there comes an unthinkable set of orders. Look at these unthinkable orders. Look in verse number 2. Verse number 2 says, the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given thy hand Jericho. And the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now, let's stop right here. Here's the captain speaking. We go back to chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. We are introduced to the Lord. That is the captain. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's giving Joshua his marching orders, so to say. These orders were unequivocally not your typical, not your conventional orders for battle. You're going to see that in just a moment. What this captain tells Joshua to do is not what General Schwarzkopf would have recommended. Are you listening? The orders he got, that is not what Mr. Eisenhower would have done. It's not what MacArthur would have done. Are you listening? Is everybody with me? You're not going to find this in your war games. You're not going to go to the military school and say, here's how to take a city. These are unthinkable orders. We're once again reminded that the walls fell by faith, not by might of man. Think about in verse number 2, these orders are based upon, they are founded upon a promise. They are founded upon a promise. Notice he said, the Lord said to Joshua, see, here it is, before I tell you what to do, you need to remember this, Joshua, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Hey, Joshua, Before you even go down there, before you even get the rest of your orders, before I tell you exactly what I want you to do, I just want you to be reminded of something. Hey, here's the promise. I've already given you the land. I've already given you the king. And I've already given the mighty men of valor. Hey, it's yours, Joshua. I'm telling you, we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. God's already promised us victory in Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm telling you, all you've got to do is learn to trust Him and walk in accordance to His Word. And God gives the victory. I don't know, that excites me. I might just get hung up right there and plow a little while. Amen. It's founded upon a promise. You're going to get that in a minute, because when He tells us what these orders are, you're going to go back and say, wait a minute. If it wasn't for that promise, these orders make no sense. Now, it's founded upon a promise, but that promise is followed by a precept. Now, watch these precepts. Verse 3 through 5. In verse 3, He says this. Hey, Joshua, you shall compass the city. All ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Compass the city. Compass the city? I mean, that's nothing. I mean, what's so great about that? Do it one time for 6 days. And He goes on in verse number 4, or later on down there, He says, and do it 7 times on the 7th day. So you got 13 times total. Now notice the way that the Bible described these men in verse number 3. All ye men of war. I don't know about y'all. I know in basic training they do some marching, right? They teach them how to march. Brother Robbie, help me. Do they do some marching? But when you get into infantry, it's not all about marching, is it not? I ain't never been there. But when you go into war, when you're going into conflict, that marching was to teach you how to do it, get you prepared, discipline, all that thing, get you in shape, and all that. But when you're going into conflict, man, you want a rifle. You want some cannons. You want a bazooka. You want a tank. You want some bombs or something to help you, right? You want a weapon. He didn't tell them anything about getting a weapon. Do you see that in verse number 3? He said, compass the city once, and thou shalt do 6 days. The 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpet. So you've got the men of war walking around the city. You've also got 7 priests with trumpets walking around the city. They're going around it 6 times, 1 time each day for the first 6 days. And then on the seventh day, here they are. All right, y'all, here's what it is. Hey, on the first day, some of y'all had to wake up. On the first day, he's walking around the city. Walking around the city. Come on, Brother Ray, I need a man of war. All right, come on. Walking around the city. All right, they're walking around the city. Brother Ray was going to sleep. Hey, man, I'm just kidding. Walk around the city. I ain't going 6 times. I'll get wore out. I'm going to get old. Watch this now, but I'm going to go 1 time. I don't know if Brother Ray going to make it 1 time. Watch it now. Hey, that's 1 time. All right? That's the first day. I'm going back to camp. You're going back to camp. Watch this now. Going back to camp. Hey, watch now. Hey, on the first day, that's what they were to do. On the second day, that's what they were to do. On the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, they did the same thing 6 days in a row. But on the seventh day, they'd walk around 7 times. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that just don't make sense to me. Does that make sense? Let me tell you something. Sometimes you're going to think, I got to do this and I got to do that. And God's saying, you just be still. I'll fight your battles. I've already given you the victory. You say it don't make sense. Guess what? It don't make sense. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not only did they compass the city, but they had to blow trumpets. Blow trumpets. Verse number 4, we read that. They had to blow the trumpets. He said, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. Now, I'd have been blowing like dart guns or something. Not blowing trumpets. Are you listening? They didn't dig any trenches. They didn't have any kind of climbing devices like rope ladders or catapults to get them over the wall. They didn't have any kind of battering rams to knock a hole in the wall. They didn't have any kind of sophisticated weaponry. They didn't have any thing to shoot fiery darts over the wall. They didn't have a bomb. They didn't have a machine gun. Hey, they didn't have anything like that. They had trumpets. Trumpets? Think about this. Just simple. It's not a heavy weapon. You know what the Bible says that Jesus, God, uses in His life, in our life, excuse me? He uses those simple things, those base things, those weak things. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, 17 through 29. I'm talking about things that only God could use, and they require faith. See, if Joshua went down there with his military might and said, hey, we're going to take this city, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it, we got a strategy, we got a plan, we got this weapon, we got this. They'd have said, hey, we did that. But God said, I want you to go down there and compass that city. I want you to blow the trumpets. And no man's getting glory in this. No man's going to say, I did this. It was my gun. It was my weapon. It was my invention. Not only that, because listen to this. They were to take up the ark. Look at verse number 4. It says, the seven priests shall bear before the ark. The ark. They're taking the ark. Verse number 6 talks about it. Take up the ark of the covenant. Now, what is the ark? The ark is the box, right? Y'all know about the ark of the covenant. The inside of the box, there's the Ten Commandments, and there's Aaron's rod and different things. But what is that? The ark is a type. It is representative of the presence of God. When the ark, when the nation of Israel lost the ark, they lost the presence of God. When they lost the presence of God, they lost the power of God. I'm telling you, church, if you want the power of God, you've got to have the presence of God. People talking about the power of God, the power of God. You get in the presence of God, you'll have the power of God. He said, I'll tell you what you need to do. He said, not only do you compass the city in obedience, not only do you blow the trumpet simply, hey, but you take up the ark. It's God's presence. I'm thankful that if we're saved, He's always with us. He said, I'll be with you to the end of the world. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hey, the ark, it's a picture of Christ. It's a picture of the object of our faith. Don't go to battle without the ark. Don't march without the ark, Joshua. No use just walking. You go walking around, it's going to be like me walking around. If you don't have the ark, the presence of God. And then number 4, they're going to shout with a great shout. Look in verse number 5. It shall come to pass that when they make long blasts with the ram's horns, ye shall hear the sound of the trumpet. All the people, No. It didn't say some. It didn't say all the priests. It didn't say John. It said all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. Are y'all getting this? Are y'all getting this? This is still not a great military strategy in a man's eyes. What is this shout? This shout is not a shout of jubilation. This shout is a shout of expectation. They wasn't shouting because the walls fell. They were shouting to make the walls fall. Y'all, we're reminded that the walls fell by faith, not by force of men. Are you listening? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. What are they doing? They are shouting. They are shouting, saying, I can just say this, when they shout, I can imagine, and the Bible doesn't tell us anything, but we can maybe put a little bit of imagination as they're walking across around those cities each day, and then seven times on a day. I can imagine the people of Jericho watching them the first day. What are they doing? Second day, a few more people watching. By the sixth day, people's watching. And that seventh day, somebody says, hey, they done lost their ever-living mind now. They ain't stopping. They on their seventh lap. And all of a sudden they hear the trumpets blowing, and they hear them shouting. And when they hear them shouting, I don't know what they said, but really what they were saying with the shout was, hey, we believe God! You don't shout before the walls fall unless you believe God's going to make the walls fall. You shout not believing God? No. You shout believing God. Trusting God. God's going to do what He said He's going to do. We're going to do what God told us to do. We're reminded the walls fell by faith. Third, it leads us to this. Not only was there unthinkable orders, but there was unquestioned obedience. Unquestioned obedience. Verse number 6, I'm not going to read all these verses, but verse number 6 through verse 16, we see an unquestioned obedience. Look at verse number 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, here's what he says, take up the Ark of the Covenant. Let seven priests bear the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. He said unto the people, pass on, compass the city. Let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of the Lord. Came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, blew with the trumpet, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Hey, does it sound familiar? Sounds like Joshua was telling them to do exactly what God told him to tell them. Obedience.
Obedience.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, faith comes from God's Word. How do I get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith doesn't come from my feelings. Faith does not come from some little fantasy imagination that I have. Faith comes from the Word of God, and faith is exhibited by my obedience to what God said to do. So I trust God. I believe God. If you believe God, you're to obey His command. And as you obey His command, you obey what He says, you are exhibiting that you have faith in Him. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't think that makes sense. And if you don't do what God says to do, what you're really saying is I don't have faith in God. But when you have faith in God, you exhibit it and you prove it. You manifest it by stepping out in faith. When you face great difficulties, faith is manifested by feet that are moving. Joshua goes down there and tells them, imagine now, Joshua says, hey boys, God says, get the men of war, you ought to follow, the ark's going to go around, the priest's going to have trumpets, and they'll say, here's what we're going to do. This is what God said to do, all right? Well, I can see somebody over there now. Yeah, I believe that. This is what we'd have done. I believe that. But if you believe it, get up and march. I believe God's going to make the walls fall. Well, God didn't say He's just going to make the walls fall. God said He's going to make the walls fall after you do your marching and your shouting. Hello? Too many people in church, somebody said, yeah, I believe God can do that. I tell you what, God can do that, but God requires some things of you and I. It's one thing to sit back and say, I believe God, but you'll prove that you believe God when you begin to obey God. And you'll have victory in your life when you begin to obey God. Are you listening? Notice verse number 6 now. Joshua began to exhibit faith through his obedience, and the people followed. We've just read that. Now think about the faith. I'll give you a few things about the faith that they exhibited. Faith was patient. Six days. Here they are walking around. Six times. Seven times. That's 13 times around, right? Right? I ain't real good in math, but that's 13 laps around the city of Jericho. You know what that requires? That requires patience. Think about it. They'd already been down Gilgal for a couple of weeks. They ain't had the first victory. And God says, walk. So I'm going to take me another lap. I'm going to speed it up this time. Some of y'all is going to sleep. Chicken ain't going to get cold. Trust me. Hey, watch now. You think I'm crazy, though. Watch now. I ain't going to take 13. But you imagine how long? I mean, y'all getting impatient now. Right? 13 laps. 7 days. Before they ever saw victory. Their faith was patient. They didn't give up. They didn't think, oh, man. We did this one day. Joshua, man, this is the third day, man. Have you lost your mind? I got to thinking about this thing, Joshua. That just ain't going to happen. Joshua, I got to thinking about this. I ain't never seen a wall fall by people walking around it. You don't find that in your text. What you find is obedience. You find patient faith. You find people continuing to walk and trust God. They say, I have faith in God, and they manifest it by moving their feet and walking with God. Faith was prudent. Look in verse number 10. Joshua commanded the people, saying, thou shalt not shout. They must have been Baptists. He had to tell them this. Thou shalt not shout. Here's the Baptist part. Nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall you shout. Now think about this. You walk around a wall of a city one time for 6 days. That's 6 days. And then seven times, you've got to understand, these people was trained in murmuring and complaining. That's their heritage. That's the lot. That's where they came from. Their parents were murmurers and complainers. And not one time. They're to make a noise. They're not even to shout. Make no noises until Joshua tells them to. Prudence. They're looking forward to the promises of God. They're trusting and they are looking forward. Faith will help us to keep quiet when need be. Faith will help us and keep us from saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. It'll keep us from saying the right thing at the wrong time. Amen. Faith was proclaimed in verse number 16 and verse number 20. Verse 16 says, it came to pass the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpets. Joshua said to the people, shout. For the Lord, listen, hath given you the city. The wall still hadn't fell. Verse 16, he said, shout, the Lord hath given you the city. Verse 20, so the people shouted, the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass. Y'all know what's going to happen? I'm going to stop right there for a second. Faith was proclaimed. There was a shout of faith. There was a shout of expectation. And after they shout, the walls were going to fall. They believed God and they were confident in God. And they expressed it not only by walking but by shouting when God said shout. They shouted boldly because they believed God's Word. There was no need to doubt Him. We got a bunch of mealy-mouthed, yellow-bellied, no backbone compromising so-called preachers that stand in a pulpit and say, well, it could have been or maybe perhaps. And they'll try to explain everything in God's Word away. I want to say tonight or this morning, whatever it might be. Hey, it's time that some Christians and some preachers get back to saying, God said it. It don't matter if it makes sense. It don't matter if you can figure it out. God said it, and that's the truth. We got Bible colleges that are filled with people that are trying to figure things out. I can't understand how walls could have fell. It must have been an earthquake. It wasn't no earthquake. It was a miracle. We got Bible so-called professors and preachers standing in pulpit and say, well, they didn't really cross the Red Sea. They crossed the Reed Sea, which is only about 6 inches of water. Hey, dummy, that'd been a miracle too if you drowned a couple million people in 6 inches of water. Well, do you believe that Jonah really was swallowed by a whale? I believe it just as much as I believe you're sitting in this room this morning. You know why I believe it? Not because I can figure it out. Not because I got all the scientific proof to show how. No, I believe it because the Bible. That King James Bible right there told me some things, and it don't matter whether I can figure it out, don't matter how I can explain it. What matters is God said it, and that settles it, and that's it. Faith was proclaimed. One reason why preachers don't get up and proclaim the Word of God is because they don't believe the Word of God. Hey, we're at New Hope this morning. Say, preacher, why are you so confident? Why do you stand up and say, the Bible says? I'll tell you why, because the Bible says. All Scripture's given. Let's just mark it off right here. As long as this pastor's here and I ain't lost my ever-living mind, New Hope Baptist Church will be founded upon the Word of God. Every service will be based upon and centered around the preaching of God's precious, inspired, preserved, holy Word. You know why? Because we believe that the Bible is God's Word. Amen. Amen. I can stop right there and run about 3 more laps. But y'all ain't patient. Watch this. Unconquerable obstacle. Unthinkable orders. Unquestioned obedience. An undeniable outcome. An undeniable outcome. Watch this. Y'all have all heard it. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. 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 Y'all know it, right? And the walls come. Walls come tumbling down. Watch this, verse 20, middle part of the verse. When they shouted with a great shout. Don't cut me off, this is the best part, all right? Watch this now. And the people shouted with a great shout. I'd like to hear what they said. I wonder if they just said, go ahead, God, let her rip. I don't know what they said. They might have said, hallelujah. When they shouted, watch this, that the wall fell down flat. Wait a minute, this wall that was a fortress, this wall that nobody could get over, nobody could get in, nobody could get out, this wall, yeah, that wall, the wall fell down flat. Is that what your Bible says? If it ain't, you better get a Bible. That the wall fell down flat. Think about this. When walls fall, the wall fell suddenly. The wall fell suddenly. Verse number 20. It was a monumentous moment of miraculous power. Now, I understand, you know, these scholars sit around and they say, well, it happened to be that in that day there could have been an earthquake, and the way that earthquake... Well, wait a minute, you tell me about an earthquake that affected one city and nobody else in the region. You're talking about an earthquake that was so great that the walls fell, but the nation of Israel was on the outside and it didn't bother them because they're going to march straight in. I'm talking to you about a miraculous event. The Bible said it fell down flat. That is, the walls were overwhelmed, cast down. They fell. They were underneath. The walls, listen, the walls gave way from their own foundation. Archaeologists say that they have dug in this region and they have failed, that the walls didn't fall over, but they did exactly what the Bible said. They fell down flat, foundation and all, sunk right in the ground. I haven't been there, I hadn't dug it, I'm just telling you what archaeologists say. I believe what the Bible said, they fell down flat. You say, well, why would you believe that? Well, because if you keep reading right there, the Bible said, and every man straight before him, they took the city. They went in the city, every man straight before him. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if you got walls 30 feet tall, made of stone, brick, whatever it may have been made out of, those walls, if they fall over, do you not got a heap? I'm talking about just a heap of trash and rubble. You're going to have to still climb a pile of junk. The Bible didn't say anything about them climbing a pile of junk. The Bible said the walls fell down. What's that next word? Flat. I mean, I'm just sticking with the Bible now. So that every man went in straight before him, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, ass with the edge of the sword. The walls fell suddenly, and the warriors fought viciously, victoriously. Every man went straight before him. The wall fell, gave way for the city to be taken and utterly destroyed. Grace was shown abundantly. In the midst of this judgment of the city of Jericho, you need to understand this. Judgment's coming on this world. Are you listening? Judgment is coming on this, not just on America. Judgment's coming on this world. And in the midst of the judgment of Jericho, in the midst of God utterly destroying the whole city, grace was shown abundantly. You say, why? You remember Rahab back in chapter number 2? You remember the spies went down? And she took the spies into her house, and they told her, listen, if you'll put out that cord, that scarlet, you'll put it out your window, that you, not only you, but everybody in your house, when we come back, it's in your house, we're going to save a life. Don't y'all get too excited about it. God knows how to judge the world and to save a few. Grace. Grace. God's grace. Rahab and her family. And just go back to chapter 2, verse 12 through 19. And you'll find the story of Rahab, the harlot, the harlot, the harlot. And I've already pointed out to you that not only is she in the hall of fame and of faith in Hebrews chapter number 11, but in Matthew chapter 1, she's in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. She's the great-great-grandmother of King David. Are you listening to me? That's grace, good neighbor. How do you go from being a harlot to being in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's no other word to say it but grace. God's presence and power was seen visibly. Verse 27, so the Lord was with Joshua and his fame was noised abroad, or noised throughout all the country. His presence and His power was seen visibly. The Lord, listen, I love that. The Lord was with Joshua. It wasn't about Joshua. It was about the presence of the Lord. The Lord was with Joshua. Didn't He not tell him that back in chapter number 1? I'll be with you just like I was with Moses. I'm going to be with you. So I'm going to make you great. He's already done that in Israel's eye. Here He is doing it to all the country. Ladies and gentlemen, if we will trust God and obey God, are you listening? If we will obey God, watch this. I can figure that out. Listen to the Word of God. If we will obey God, no matter what His orders may be, no matter how much people in the world are looking, if we will just with simple, childlike faith say, God said it, I believe it, and I'm going to obey, God can do things for us that you'll never dream. God can make walls fall that you're facing.
Whatever it is. You say, well, I've got an area in my life. I've got to have this victory. But there's a wall up around that. There's a wall. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It really is just as simple as faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's not improbable. It's not hard. It's impossible to please Him. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I don't know where you're at in your Christian walk. I don't know what kind of heart. I don't know what you're facing. The walls are up. You say, I can't break down that wall. But I know this. I know if you'll trust God, God can destroy that wall and allow you to go right in and to claim the victory in Jesus' name. And get this. When walls fall, the enemies are destroyed. When that wall falls, there's an area in your Christian life that you conquer. An enemy destroyed. You can move on to the next level. You ever play a video game? I remember Mario Brothers. You had to go through different levels. You started level 1, level 2, level 3. You had to defeat each level. In the Christian life, you got to get over one level to get to the next level. I know some of you old-timers, y'all thinking, what are you talking about? Y'all know. Y'all play that game. Watch now. In the Christian life, when walls fall, enemies are destroyed, God's people are blessed, and God is glorified. God gets all the glory. Because see, I'm nothing, you're nothing. I can't do it on my own. I could say it like this. When walls fall, the enemy is terrified, the believers are edified, and God is glorified. You got a wall in your life. You got a wall you're facing. You got a level that you're coming up on in your Christian life. Are you making advancement? You say, I can't get any further. Well, you can't get any further until you get the victory today, wherever you are. But I got good news for you. God has given it to you. God has given it. You say, He's given it to me? Yeah. You might have to walk a little while. You might have to be patient. You might have to shout when it don't make sense to shout. But God will give you the victory. Walls can fall. By faith. Let's stand. Father, take the message. Help us today. God, speak to hearts and lives. God, do it for Your glory. Oh, God, help us this morning. God, please, God, help us to realize that our spiritual life is imperative that we learn to walk and claim victory. God, help us by faith. Trust You. To go on in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Ask this question. Maybe you hear this.